What is up, everybody? You are tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. Before we get started today, I just wanted to give a special shout out to everyone that tuned into the show last week. I got such great positive feedback from so many friends and family. Actually, a lot of friends that I haven't talked to in a while. So it was great catching up with those guys. I actually had one of my good friends, Joe Nosek, who told me that he's been trying to start Walking Dead for a while now, and that after listening to my podcast last week, he's definitely going to start it. So if I can start a Walking Dead bandwagon, I must be doing something right. So that's awesome that he's decided to do that. But I couldn't do it without you guys. Yeah, I love doing these podcasts. It means the world to me, but you guys make it happen. And without a fan and viewer base, I couldn't make the show happen. So I just wanted to say thank you. And as my episode title states, it's a start to a new beginning. So let's get the show on the road. So last Saturday, I was really itching for some sports. It's been a couple months since anyone's been able to watch anything. It's been a grind. It's been really hard not to have any form of entertainment to watch. So as I was playing my infamous 2K online with some of my friends on Saturday during the day, they were talking about the UFC fights that were going on. So the main event was Harris versus Overeem that was going to take place at night. And then the rest of the day just had a bunch of prelims. So I was like, all right, well, I got an empty screen going on right now while I'm playing 2K. Might as well amp it up a little bit. So I turned on the UFC fights. And let me tell you, I was honestly intrigued with what was going on. Granted, it's slim pickings these days with there no sports being on. But I've never really watched a UFC fight before. I've never had anything against UFC. I just never really had a care for it because I always had other sports going on. It was always on at weird times during the night. So I feel like they were always on at like 11 on Saturday night. And that's just not the time and place that I'm going to be watching a UFC fight. But with no sports on, that was my only option. And especially with no crowd being there, it was really intense just hearing the type of punches being thrown and the contact being made. I mean, you can just hear people's faces getting bashed in and blood going everywhere. It was like, whoa, I have been missing out my whole life, I guess. I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, these guys, the training process they must go through just to be able to be physically fit to fight in these matches is insane. That it's three rounds, so it's whoever either wins by knockout, submission, or it's a unanimous decision by the judges at the end. So you play the three rounds and no one taps out, so then the judges decide who's going to win. And for the most part, I feel like it was split, so there was a lot of knockouts that took place in the first 15 seconds of the fight, and there were some that went the whole distance that you thought had no chance. I mean, that's the cool thing about the fights is there's that factor that, you know, at any second somebody could get knocked out or submitted and the fight's over. And this is the type of thing, it's like boxing where you train for a year for this moment. And for it just to have the potential to be done in 10 seconds is crazy. I mean, I don't even know how you'd get in the ring in the first place. I'd be scared shitless. I would not come anywhere near the octagon, as they call it. I mean, that place is ruthless. There's no escape. I mean, if you want to run, you better be able to climb the fence because those guys are coming at you until you're dead, basically. So I was thoroughly entertained, and I was mostly impressed with the COVID-19 protocol that they had before the fight. So UFC fights, the first ones actually were last weekend, so 2 weekends ago, and they had, you know, you had to be tested twice before you can enter the building, and there was actually one fighter that tested positive for coronavirus. So he never stepped foot inside the building where the fights were taking place. They quarantined him right away. And he was the only one in the last 2 weeks that have tested positive for the coronavirus. And I just feel like this is a great step moving forward for sports in general. Of course, there was no fans during the event, and all the commentators were separated, so they weren't sitting next to each other while commentating the match. Everybody there that weren't fighting was wearing masks for the most part. I mean, it was very interesting to see that, okay, well, it seems like this is heading in the right direction for different sports to start starting up. And I mean, everyone's going to have to forget about the chance of there being fans. That's definitely not going to happen for a long time. But if we can just get sports back and running, just so us fans that are just sitting at home doing nothing can view something, that would be awesome. And I think just watching these sports like UFC starting up is just, at first I was skeptical. I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but I feel like, you know, after a couple weekends, it's still a small sample size, but we're definitely heading in the right direction for sports. I also, because I'm just a desperate sports fan here, I tuned in to the Korean Baseball League that was at midnight on Saturday night. So after the fights were over, I kind of just left ESPN on, and all of a sudden Korean baseball was just appeared. So I was like, well, I might as well just tune to this too. I mean, I have nothing else going on. And honestly, you know, these Korean guys are good. There's also some guys from the United States that have definitely bounced around leagues that were playing in the league. The game that was on ESPN was the Kiwoom Heroes against the LG Twins. And the Heroes, man, they took it to the Twins. I guess the Twins had won 4 games previously, just outscoring everyone by a million. And Kiwoom just goes in there and just puts up numbers. I think they were up like 7-0 at one point. I didn't finish the game because then it ended at like 3 or 4 in the morning, but I was entertained. And let me tell you, the bat flips that these guys have are amazing. They have, I mean, if they did this in the MLB, they'd be getting pegged on the next plate appearance. But these guys just have no shame. They hit that ball 10 miles over the fence, and they are letting everybody know by flipping that bat. I was entertained. The only thing I was a little that I wasn't a big fan of was they have these in the bleachers, these like fake fans on like a banner that's stretching across the seats to make it look like there's fans in the stadium. And they were all wearing like coronavirus masks to help like promote social distancing and like guidelines that you should be doing during this coronavirus. And it really didn't look like there was fans in the bleachers with this addition. So it was kind of just these creepy photos in the outfield that you saw when like a ball got hit out there that you could really visually tell that it was fake people. So I don't know about that. I'm not at this point, you know, with no fans, I don't need like a fake banner to help provide more of an entertainment atmosphere. That was my only criticism of the Korean Baseball League. But going forward, I mean, my Saturdays are locked in with UFC and Korean baseball. So if you guys are looking for something to do on the weekend, I'd highly advise to tune into those two sports. For Riddle's rant of the week, it's going to have to go to when people tell me that I'm too loud. Yes, I know, everybody. I'm one of the loudest people you guys have probably ever heard. I've been getting told that I've been too loud since I was 5. I'd say, and there's just nothing worse than being told that you're too loud or that you need to quiet down. I mean, if you're at like a party or just like hanging out with your friends, it's really awkward going forward when someone tells you that you're too loud, because then going forward, you're just so focused on not being loud, and it just kind of sucks for the rest of the day because you're too focused on that and you are really salty at that person for telling you that you're being too loud. But I will say that it is a skill that I'm working on. I know that you don't want to be the loud guy, either in an office setting or just when you're hanging out with your friends or meeting somebody new. But I feel like for myself that being loud is just something that really identifies myself and the person that I am. And I'm just, you know, I bring a lot of energy. I get, you know, really emotional and emphatic when I'm talking, and I just can't help it a lot. And yeah, to be honest, sometimes I try to be quiet and I am still way too loud. And I'll tell you what doesn't help is putting in these new headphones that I have when I'm playing PS4. I literally can't hear anything outside of them now because I have Spotify linked into my headphones while talking online. And so I'm in my own world downstairs. And when it gets to the late hours and my mom hears it, she is not happy. And it definitely is something that going forward, I'll have to make sure that I really monitor. But I will say, if somebody tells me that, I'm definitely going to be a little salty for the time being, because like I said before, there's nothing worse than being told that. But I do understand where you're coming from. So if you're going to tell me to quiet it down, just do it politely. You know, you don't have to be rude about it. Just say it. And you know what? I'll try to cooperate, but that's all I can do, because you know me, I probably will still be loud even when you ask me to be quiet. So I wanted to get into the NFL a little bit. There's a lot of skepticism if the season's going to start on time. What are the guidelines going to be regarding COVID-19? But I really just want to talk about the key additions that some teams made during this offseason, whether that's free agent moves, trades, or what they got in the draft. But right away, I want to start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know that's on everybody's mind. Are the Bucs going to be good now that they have Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin? I mean, that's a pretty stacked offense. They definitely need a running back. I don't know if Ronald Jones is going to cut it. He definitely can be part of the rotation, I'd say, but I think that they would need to go out and get another back for sure. They have a solid defense. They've always kind of had a solid defense the last couple of years. I don't know, like, when you think of defense, you don't think of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they definitely have improved in a lot of areas. And I don't know, though. I feel like the Bucs, you know, with as good of an offense as it looks like on paper, I just don't know where Tom Brady and Gronkowski puts them. I want to say that they're playoff bound because, I mean, my God, when have we gotten to say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a chance to go to the playoffs? I don't remember ever in my lifetime thinking that. And now all of a sudden, they're just all in. And you're like, wow, okay, can this team produce? I just see this team being mediocre, I feel like. I see them being anywhere from 7-9 to 9-7, maybe squeaking out a 10-6 record. But will any of those be good enough to make the playoffs? Probably not with how stacked their league is in the NFC. I mean, the NFC has gotten really good. You had teams fighting last year with good records. I mean, I just don't see them passing a Seattle Seahawks team. I don't see them passing a New Orleans Saints team. I don't see them passing a Minnesota Vikings squad. I mean, as much as I want to hop on the Tampa Bay bandwagon, I just don't know if I can do that quite yet. I'm going to need to see something. And I mean, I want them to succeed. Besides the Bears, I don't have many teams that I just root for. I'm just more of a red zone guy for fantasy purposes, which I'm totally fine with, especially since the Bears suck. Probably always will suck. But I'm going to need to see a few weeks with the Tampa Bay offense and defense for that matter to be able to give any definitive predictions. But it's a start. I'll give them that. They are going for it. And you can't discredit them for getting two Hall of Famers in Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. But at the same time, is Tom Brady the answer? I mean, you saw him on a Patriots team last year. Granted, they still finished with a good record, still were a dangerous playoff team, but you saw them play the Titans in the playoffs. Brady did not look great. He looked a little washed. And that's nothing against Tom Brady. He's been good for millions of years. He's been the GOAT. But everyone passes their prime. And as much as I want the Buccaneers to ball out with Brady and Gronk, I just don't know if they can give him that spark. But time will tell. Nothing's really started yet, so I'm just kind of throwing things out there, but it's definitely not just a guaranteed thing that the Buccaneers are going to be great. They have a lot of things to prove. I want to talk about a trade that took place during this offseason. The Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals in return for David Johnson. I mean, are you kidding me? Texans, you just gave up the best wide receiver in the game to get a injury-prone running back who, yes, has had success in the past, keyword, past. I mean, the Cardinals easily won this deal. They now have a top wide receiver with one of the most highly scouted QBs in the league in Kyler Murray. He's going to be going into his second year as a quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. And I mean, he's supposed to be the future of this league. And now with giving him that dynamite weapon with Hopkins and their newly additioned running back, Kenyon Drake, who balled out at the end of last season. I mean, the Cardinals are looking good. And I mean, their defense is up and coming. They have a solid squad. The Texans, on the other hand, I feel like just got worse. And they were actually good last year. I mean, when you have receivers and Hopkins, Will Fuller, a tight end and Darren Fells, that's a good squad. Always have had decent running backs. But, I mean, now you're saying that Will Fuller, who's hurt every year with some sort of torn ligament, is going to be your number one receiver? I mean, you were giving Deshaun Watson not a lot to work with. There's going to be, in my mind, a lot of run plays to David Johnson that go for 1 or 2 yards, maybe even a loss of a yard. And then Watson just having to bail him out on third and long. That's what I'm envisioning for the Texans right now. And frankly, I am not impressed with Bill O'Brien, who's, you know, not only the coach, but in charge of the front office too. I mean, he has made some questionable decisions in the past, but this one really blows my mind. You know, after this move, I don't think the Texans are going to make the playoffs this year. I am predicting that the Arizona Cardinals are going to make the playoffs this year. I feel like they're due. I really like what they're creating out in Arizona, and I'm hopping on the Arizona Cardinals bandwagon for sure. They last year were pretty much in every game that I saw. They never gave up. They had nothing to lose. And now with a talent and leader in DeAndre Hopkins, I'm loving me some Arizona Cardinals right now. Let me tell you, I'm pumped for them. I think it's their time, and I think they're going to say thank you very much for this trade, and they can't wait for this season to get going. The last thing I want to talk about today is the quarterback situation going on in Chicago. I don't want to get into the Bears that much right now because I could just go on for days on how concerning their franchise is. But when they got Nick Foles this offseason, I wasn't mad about that addition. There wasn't a lot of options out there. I was really scared that they were going to go for the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, the ex-Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. I thought for sure they'd go that route. And they didn't. I was also scared that they were going to go for injury-prone, washed-up Cam Newton. They didn't. So honestly, I feel like they got the best quarterback available in Nick Foles, who has championship experience with the Eagles. He always does well when he subs in for a hurt quarterback, most notably Carson Wentz, when they won the Super Bowl a couple years back. Didn't fare too well in Jacksonville. He did get hurt right away, but when he came back, he wasn't good. It's going to be a very interesting camp with these two. Granted, I don't even know what the training camps could look like with the COVID-19 going on, but let's say there is a camp. I mean, who's going to be first string? You know, my prediction right here is that this has fired up Mitch Trubisky. This might just be what he needs to get his head out of his ass. I think that, you know, he's definitely going to, you know, in practices, at least at first, start off as QB number one. And my prediction is that he will be the Bears' opening day starter over Nick Foles. How long will that last? I'm not sure. If I were to give you an honest prediction right now, I could see Trubisky starting for the first, let's say, 3 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, because in the third game he's just playing so bad that they have to yank him. 2.5 games for Trubisky. Nick Foles will then sub in, as he usually does. He'll play well for 3 games. Everyone's loving it. Everyone's like, are the Bears back? Nick Foles and the Bears D? Nick Foles and Khalil Mack, best friends? But then, unfortunately, the Nick Foles era will end with a torn ACL by week 6 or 7, and Trubisky will be forced to come back, and the Bears will end up going 7-9 or 8-8, you know, because they'll play like they did last year, a playoff-clinching team like in the Minnesota Vikings, and they'll be playing their third stringers, so they'll get a free win out of that. But that's my Bears prediction so far. I don't have a ton of faith in the Bears, as I don't think a lot of people do, but surprise me, Bears. Come on. That's all Chicago asks. I mean, we need something here. Our sports are not doing too hot these days, so your defense is good enough where just force me 10 fumbles a game, and we'll call it a day. My GeForce spotlight of the week definitely has to go to the conclusion of The Last Dance. The last two episodes were last night, and I don't know what I'm going to do going forward. I had something to look forward to for the last 5 weeks, and now the Jordan documentary has come to an end. I guess my next form of action would be to rewatch the series, but I think I'm going to give it a few weeks before I do that. But what an ending to the series. The last two episodes really dove into a lot of the in-game footage that happened between the Bulls and the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals in 1998. And then also the two NBA Finals against the Jazz in 1997 and 1998. And my God, it sucks to be a Jazz fan in the 90s. If you're a Jazz fan, you hated Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Most teams respected MJ. Utah wanted blood. And let me tell you, Utah was a damn good team. They had players like John Stockton, MVP Karl Malone, a coach in Jerry Sloan. When they lost to the Bulls in 1997, they got even better in 98, which made losing in the NBA Finals a second time even harder. And they were in both series. It was not a cakewalk for the Bulls. Steve Kerr, it was really cool. He played a huge part in the last two episodes, especially in episode 9. He hit the go-ahead shot in 97 to beat the Utah Jazz in game 6. I mean, what a story that Steve Kerr would even be there hitting that shot. It really went into what he went through his life with his dad dying early on in his life, him not being highly recruited out of high school and college, and just to be a part of that team and to contribute like he did. It was so cool to see how far Steve Kerr came in his life and how much success he's having now with being the coach of the Golden State Warriors, winning 3 more championships there. I mean, an unbelievable career for Steve Kerr, whether it's playing, announcing for TNT, coaching, he's really doing it all. And he just seems like such a positive influence on not only the game of basketball, but just life in general. It was really cool to see his life being brought to life. And then just at the end of the day, Michael Jordan. I mean, just the in-game footage of the flu game. Everyone knows about the flu game, but really it was food poisoning from the bad pizza that he ate the night before. I don't know why he ate a whole pizza before an NBA Finals game, but he did, and he played, and he played such a huge role. They won the game. I mean, this guy willed his team to win all the way to his game-winning shot to win the NBA Finals, his last shot as a Bull. I mean, to go out that way with 6 championships, it was a great thing to see. And I wish I could have been part of it. I wasn't, but I was able to watch it now. And it was an amazing journey the past 5 weeks I've had watching the Bulls go on their run. So for the flick of the week this week, I actually have 2 flicks. I have the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which I know is 3 movies, but I'm counting it as 1, and Casino Royale. Lord of the Rings trilogy. Everyone should know that this is the best series of all time. If you haven't seen it or don't agree, I'd love to discuss it, but it's hands down the most entertaining series in my lifetime. This weekend, our internet and cable was out on Friday because of the storm. So you can imagine how hard that was for me and my family with not having any technology and there being rain outside, already being quarantined. So we decided to hook up the old DVD player. We watched The Fellowship of the Ring and The Two Towers, which are the first 2 movies in the series. We didn't make it to the third movie. But I highly advise that at some point in your life, you try to knock out all three of those movies back to back to back. Doesn't have to be on the same day. That'd kind of be insane. But just over like a 3-day stretch. And I'm telling you, your life will be changed. It just has such good plot lines with Frodo Baggins and the Hobbits, Gandalf the Grey / Gandalf the White. If you've seen the movies, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you'll have to watch to find out what I mean by that. But I'm telling you, it is a journey that you will never forget. And it's just, I feel like it really brings the family together. I mean, me and my parents were just reminiscing on just things that have happened in our life. And I feel like Lord of the Rings just brings people together. So watch it with your family. Watch it by yourself. Watch it with your girlfriend. Do what you have to do to watch these three movies. And I guarantee your life will be changed. For Casino Royale, this is Daniel Craig's first movie as playing the role of James Bond. And my God, is he sexy. He has the best British accent I have ever heard. I mean, this guy is the smoothest playa I've ever seen. I wish he was casted in every James Bond movie ever. And James Bond movies have been casted by great actors. Sean Connery, Daniel Moore, Pierce Brosnan. Is it Brosnan or Bronson? I think it's Bronson, actually. Sorry about that. But Daniel Craig does an amazing job. The movie is revolved around a large poker game. So for all you card players out there, you will love it. There are high-speed chases that I've never seen in any other movie that are so prolonged that you are just so sucked into the scene that you forget about anything else going on in your life. And so me and my family watched Casino Royale and Fellowship of the Ring in one night. And let me tell you, that is a double feature I highly recommend for anybody looking for a movie out there. For the bet of the week this week, we are going to transfer over from Virtual 2K into the German Soccer League. The German Soccer League, like UFC, the Korean Baseball League, has recently started up. And I don't know a lot about soccer. I know a little bit about the big names, but not enough to give advice to you guys about betting on it. So I recently got into contact with my soccer insider, Ryan Rivard. He is a fan of Bayern Munich in the sense that he feels that they are the most comfortable and safest team to bet on. So on Saturday, they have an 11:30 a.m. match against Frankfurt. They are a 2-goal favorite. But I'm not going to advise you to bet that they win by 2 goals. They recently just came off a 2-goal victory. Frankfurt recently came off a loss. So Frankfurt's definitely going to be itching to get in not only the win column, but the goal column. So I feel like this might be a somewhat heavy goal game. And so the over-under is over 3.5 goals scored for both teams. So that's what I'd go with. I'd go for the over in this match of 3.5 goals. So 4 goals would have to be scored in order for you to win this bet. I feel like Bayern Munich will get the W, but I don't know if they win by 2 goals. I could see them winning 3-2. I could see there being a draw at 2-2. So that's the advice I'll give you on that. I advise you taking the over of 3.5. And it would be, I don't think, a smart move to take the 2-goal victory by Bayern Munich. So that's my final answer. Over 3.5, punch it in. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I appreciate everybody that tuned in. If you haven't checked out the Anchor app, I highly advise you do. It's a really cool app that allows you to make your own podcast like I'm doing now, and just to check out any other podcasts being done by other producers out there. I hope you guys all have a great night, and I'll see you next week. This is Alex Riddle, signing off.